Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for listening. I have a wonderful show today. It's going to be all about body language, what it is, and how you can use it to improve your relationships. Now, did you know that studies show, and it's great research, that if there's a discrepancy or difference between what you say to a partner, the words you use, and what you non-verbally express to your partner, the truth actually lies in your non-verbal body language? Yes. For example, if I tell you, I'm not angry, everything's fine, but my body shows you something different, like I'm not looking at you and I have my fists and teeth clenched, the truth is that I'm really angry. I'm not fine. I love that research and I can't wait to discuss it with our guest today. Our guest today is Lisa Mitchell, and she's a certified body language trainer and holds a master's in science of management. She's also known as the people reader. She works with Fortune 500 companies and business leaders around the world, teaching people reading skills to increase the company's profitability and to communicate, to have their leaders communicate with confidence. She's also the host of her own podcast program called the Shiny Things Podcast with Lisa Mitchell. And season one was all about dating and relationships in an app-based digital world. And that podcast, if you're interested, is available on Lisa's website, which is powerbodylanguage.com. Now, I've never met Lisa in person, but as soon as we talked on the phone, it was instant compatibility. I can't tell you, it was just like there was something that was so in common. She also lives in Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm originally from Minneapolis, Minnesota, so I'm sure that we connected as well because we're both Midwest gals. Lisa also worked in corporate America, so she brings a very unique and insightful perspective to body language, communication, and relationships, which I really, really love. So welcome to the program, Lisa. Thanks for joining me and us today.
Oh my gosh. Thanks so much for the invitation. I'm honored to be part of your show today.
Oh, it's such a joy to have you. Now, first, before we start off with the power of body language, help me and probably listeners as well understand what you really do as a certified body language trainer. What does that mean, Lisa?
Well, my sole mission with all of my work around nonverbal science is to help people show up as their most clued in and confident selves in any situation. And I approach it through a couple of different avenues, but the science is always the same. But I really want, whether people are entering the dating space or whether people are walking into a boardroom, I want them to really feel confident because they understand how they're showing up in that space, and that they have control over how they're showing up. And mm-hmm. I also want to give them the set of tools to gain additional confidence by really understanding what they're seeing and what's being communicated to them from the people on the other side of their face.
So are you saying, Lisa, then that if I know what's being communicated, that then I'm a more confident person going on a first date or dating or going into a boardroom?
Absolutely. I think the reason that confidence sometimes is lacking is because it's kind of a lack of information. We don't know, we aren't secure in the fact that we really know how we're showing up or what the people across from us are thinking or how they're decoding us. And when you can use science-based techniques to gain control of those unknowns and to fill in some mm-hmm. of those blanks, that the result is greater confidence and really greater influence and greater effectiveness. It just really moves the needle in that positive direction in so many ways.
I see. And so how did you go from corporate America then to a certified body language trainer? Is it a natural progression? Did you see it as happening, or was there something that changed along the way?
Well, I have my business story, and then I have the real reason.
So okay. I want the real reason.
Yeah, well, the business story is I transitioned from a very large company into a smaller tech startup. And part of my job in helping move that startup forward was to empower and educate other entrepreneurs and other startup founders on what the process looked like, what to expect, how to get people to give them money or to join their team, all of which are really critical in the startup space. And through that, I was exposed to a lot of pitches. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you the vast majority of those business pitches where people were seeking funding or partnership or resources really, really failed, frankly. These are brilliant people with amazing, life-changing, world-changing ideas, and they did not have the presentation skills or the speaking skills or just a general executive presence to compel people to want to go to that next conversation with them.
I see. So you're saying that the business change was really, if I had to understand what you were saying, Lisa, is that you saw these pitches, but they weren't being presented correctly or well or effectively. And so you wanted to show those executives, those pitchers, that the body language they use could help them.
Exactly. And so that the challenge to me at that time, that was before I had really specialized in this particular science, was I'm all about the quick win. I'm a total instant gratification girl. So I was looking for essentially the hack. What is the hack that I can find that can really move them forward fastest? And that came through really understanding the power of body language and nonverbal skills and how adopting that skill and mastering that skill set mm-hmm. can change a flat, lackluster pitch into a dynamic, influential, interactive experience.
I see. Before we get to that, because I know I really want to talk to you about how to do that and how your clients do that or how you teach your clients how to do that. But I want the real reason now. And I'm guessing it's a personal reason.
Isn't it always? It's a personal pain that spurs us into action, right? None of us would ever change or learn or do anything new if there wasn't an appropriate amount of pain inspiring us to do it. So the real story, the personal quest for me to understand how to read what was going on around me and understand how I was showing up really started with a pretty significant series of failures in my life. I had at the end of 2008, I was a new mother, and I had several brick and mortar storefront locations in addition to my corporate job, and was kind of burning the candle on all ends. And the very short version of a very long, drawn out demise was within a period of several weeks, I lost my marriage, lost my businesses, and felt like a complete failure as a mother.
And how did those failures then move you to do body language training?
It was massive amounts of pain. And the biggest pain I can tell you came when I realized that so much of my situation, so much of my failure was self-inflicted, because I had failed to understand the cues and the nonverbal signals that I was being given by key people in my life, my husband, my business partner, people who really I should, if there was ever people to be tuned into, those should have been my people. And I was so self-focused and so unaware and just really lacked the knowledge to understand what I was seeing mm-hmm. that when the end came, I was really surprised.
And you attributed it to your body language, not perceiving others' cues.
Exactly.
In interaction or in communication. I got to tell you, Lisa, though, that I hate the word failure, But, you know, I don't see it as a failure, but I see it as what you described later, which is an inability or not being able to effectively read people's communication or nonverbal cues.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you. In those moments, it very much feels like defeat. Mm-hmm. Now with the benefit of perspective and time past, clearly it was a call to action. It enabled me to really get deep into a new set of skills that not only safeguards me against similar experiences. There'll always be challenges. There'll always be things that won't turn out the way we want, because we can only really control ourselves in any situation. But I feel so much better equipped now. I feel like I can walk into a business meeting, or I can walk into even a family, you know, relational conversation or with a significant other. And I feel like I'm present, and I feel like, okay, I'm honoring you. I'm honoring the person on the other side of me, because I'm really listening, not just to your words, but to what your whole presence is telling me. And then I can respond in a more clued in and empathetic and appropriate way. And it has shifted the dynamic in every relationship in my life, personal and professional.
Yeah. So how has it affected then your own life or your relationships? You know, you said to us that you couldn't see, effectively read in your marriage, in your parent-child relationship. Now that you're able to read, understand those cues, how has the power of body language now affected you in your own life? Before we get to how you train people, share a story or tell us an example of how it's affected you.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what I feel is really one of the biggest gifts that I have gained as a result of the work that I do. And I have a daughter,
right?
And she's 11, going into sixth grade. Okay. And she has been present in my training, has met my clients. Like it's very much a family ordeal. And to see her adopting this knowledge and seeing how she is now able to be an empathetic person, and for her to clue in, even at 11 years old, she's reading the cues and the signals, and she's better able to respond and validate people. And she really is. I mean, if there was one thing I really, really want to do well, it's to raise a great human being. You know, or to equip her to manage life in an effective and empathetic way. And by seeing how she uses these skills in her realm of influence and within her daily reality, it just totally validates and unpacks the power that this has. And it makes us, now it's difficult too, I'm going to be honest, because she is now officially my walking accountability, because she reads me when I'm interacting with other people, and she sees if I'm insincere, or she sees if I'm displaying impatience, or she sees if I'm not being as empathetic as I should be. And she calls me on it. So from an impatient mother perspective, sometimes I'm like, just stop. Just
quit. Right. Exactly. So she's too smart. It really is what you're saying, Lisa.
I love that. You know, and I knew we were very similar, because if I think of my daughter, who's 22, so she's older, she also has become very relationship oriented and talks about the same kinds of things that I do in my work, not only in her personal life, but in her work as well. And so I think when we become very focused on something like body language or, you know, improving relationships, you know, our kids can benefit. We benefit personally. I do tremendously. And you've said you did as well, or do as well, but our kids do. And I think that's a really nice benefit, isn't it?
Oh, I love it. I think it's the best possible side effect. Of all the things that could happen, being able to elevate your children's awareness and better equip them, I don't know of any better side effect that I would want.
I agree completely, Lisa. So let's get back then to your work. And I appreciate that story about your daughter and sharing some of your personal life with us and the listeners. What kinds of clients do you help and train and help decode those nonverbal cues?
Yeah, well, I work with businesses across all sorts of industries, in all different product sets. And basically my question is, do you have people that work for you? Do you have customers and do you want to make money? Mm-hmm. If the answer to those things are yes, I can help you. Mm-hmm. Right. Because it's one of these universal benefit packages is what I call it. If you're looking to better and more clearly understand needs and provide more clued in targeted solutions, mm-hmm. this is a tool you should have. And I work a lot primarily with executives and organizations, because I really think they kind of set the tone and the temperature, mm-hmm. and also set the expectation for the culture of the organization. So it's really important that the executive team understands the impact, both short-term and long-term, to working with a more confident, more clued in, more effective team.
I see what you mean. Now, are there differences in how you would train somebody or teach somebody about body language if you're working one-on-one in a marriage or in a romantic relationship versus those executives?
Yes and no. Like the science, the foundational science that I teach it's the science. So that is consistent, but the application, okay, that the algorithm, if you will, of how do you take science and then impact or make change in your personal circumstance, the delivery, the practice, the application varies based on corporate business context versus personal relational context. But the science is pretty much the cause and effect is pretty much the same. It's just, how do you read the context of the situation and then apply the right solution? It varies a little bit in the application and the exercises that would be included. But as far as the basic fundamental understanding of why we do what we do and how we read people the way we read them, it's pretty universal.
And so the basic science of body language, nonverbal communication, at least for today, can be the same. And so first, let's just talk then about what body language is, Lisa. Now, when I think of body language, I think of how you look at someone, your eye gaze, what you do with your hands when you're talking. I happen to use my hands all the time. I've had to learn, right, to hug my knees. So I don't use so much of my hands. I don't know about you, but, you know, also if you sit and stand tall, your facial expression, even how close you stand to someone is a message.
It is. It all is conveying something.
And so that's what you're meaning then when you talk about body language?
Exactly. I kind of broaden the scope a little bit and consider it the nonverbal skills, the nonverbal science. And nonverbal science is comprised of three primary components, one of which is what we normally think of, which is body language.
Okay.
So that's kind of, how are you physically showing up in a space? How's your posture? Are you conveying confidence or are you conveying that you're closed off? Level of eye contact, absolutely. Are your hands visible or are they hidden? Even how you present your hands when you walk into a room conveys a message to people. It helps them determine their level of trust with you before you even.
How should you, by the way, put your hands? What is the most trusting message?
The way to kind of settle that limbic brain down, the part that determines the freeze, fight, or flight response, is to present yourself with loose, visible hands. So if you can walk into a room not carrying a bunch of stuff, hands not in your pocket, or standing at an event, you know, don't have your hands behind your back. It just helps to calm that initial almost subconscious assessment that everyone's doing when you first come into their awareness to tell them, hey, I'm not a threat.
It's kind of the whole
caveman brain. We're wired to assess if someone could be a threat to us. And we do it on autopilot, but eye tracking studies time and time again show the first thing we look at when someone comes into our awareness is their hands. Now, no one will ever say, oh yeah, I notice people's hands first. But
right, right. But at least they do is what the sign says. Now you said body language was the first, hands was the second, and well, I interrupted you, but what is the third?
Well, body language, hand presentation is part of body language. The second category is actually facial expressions. So our faces are very, very loud. And if for a brief second, they're very, very honest, almost in a reflex way. So there's seven universal micro expressions that Dr. Paul Ekman and his team discovered. And no matter where you see them flash, and they are a flash, it's usually 1/10 to 1/25 of a second before we, as adults, fear judgment and neutralize that real expression of how we feel and put on something we think is more appropriate. Because adults are amazing like that and don't ever really want to authentically express their initial reactions. So we try to hide it real quick.
I love that they're universal too, that no matter what culture, what country you would go to, there are those universal facial expressions. Right. I love
If you see contempt flash, whether you're in, you know, Michigan or China or a tribe in Papua New Guinea, you know somebody is not feeling what you're putting down.
I like that. Okay, so we have body language, which includes how you stand, how you sit, your hands. We have facial expression, number two. And the third?
The third is a category called ornaments. So think of this as if you were a Christmas tree and it's everything you put on yourself that could convey a message. So think hairstyle, clothing choices, if you have tattoos or wear jewelry that could convey meaning or beliefs, it's all of the peripheral. So it's what do you put on yourself? What do you carry with you? What do you surround yourself with that people can be decoding or gaining meaning from?
Okay, I like that. So we've got body language, includes hands, we have facial expression, and then we have the ornaments, the things that are on our body, like you said, lots of great examples. Now, interestingly enough, we only have a few minutes left, Lisa.
How does time fly? Listeners,
I know, we're having fun and it's so interesting, right? But help listeners, how can they use those three categories? Give us some brief tips to improve their relationship, to better communicate to a partner, a child, a business colleague.
Right. Well, there's a couple of easy things you can do and to gain trust and kind of show that you're present. There's kind of an entry set of skills as a three piece by, and it's proven to make the difference between a good TED talk and a TED talk that eventually goes viral. And it's how the presenter takes the stage. And you can use this when you're entering a room or beginning a conversation, with a partner, and it's to smile.
Okay.
It's to acknowledge, which can be a head nod, a wave, an eyebrow raise, any of those nonverbal cues that say, I see you, like, I know you're in my space. And then the visible hands is the third piece of that. So by walking in and presenting yourself in a way that says, I'm here, I'm present, I see you, you can trust me. It really sets a stage fairly quickly. It gives you kind of, if not a positive stage for a conversation, like if it's maybe a contentious or conflict conversation, it at least sets a neutral stage that says, I'm present, I'm aware of you, I'm engaged with you, and you can trust me.
I like that. So just to recap for listeners, then you want to smile, you want to acknowledge them in a nod, a look or whatever, and visible hands. And those are three really important nonverbal cues, Lisa, that can show the person, I see you, I notice you, you're important to me. And for my work, that affirmation, that validation is so significant for happiness of the other person and the relationship going forward. So recap that correctly?
You did. You did it beautifully. And fundamentally, all people, whether it's in a business context or an interpersonal context, we want three things. We want to know that we're seen, we want to know that we're heard, and we want to know that we're valued.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Lisa, we are done with time, if you can believe it or not. So we really appreciate you coming with those specific tips and strategies, telling about your story and journey. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was awesome to be part of your show.
Oh, absolutely. Great. And listeners, I know you're going to want to connect with Lisa Mitchell. So the best way to connect with her is via her website at powerbodylanguage.com. Or you can follow her on Facebook at Power Body Language, on Instagram at The People Reader, or on Twitter at Lisa Mitch L. And that's Lisa Mitch with an capital L at the end. And as always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you, the listener. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help your relationships be the best they can be. My website, personal website, is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with simple, practical, and science-based relationship advice. So until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.